Hello and welcome everybody back to another episode of the Publisher Lab. My name is Manny Ramos and today I'm joined with our SEO specialist, Zach Ashman. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Anytime, Manny.
Anytime?
Anytime.
We'll have him here for the next 5 to 6 weeks and he's not going anywhere.
It looks comfy to live in here.
Well, let me just kind of run through the docket first just so we know what we have coming up. We're going to be talking about Google paying some news publishers to publish AI-generated articles, as well as we're diving into the ambitious search quality enhancements in the March 2024 core update from Google and the multiple spam updates that come along with that. So I'm ready to dive into it. Are you?
Sounds good.
Let's do it. So first off, Google is embarking on an innovative approach by financially supporting independent publishers to generate AI-created news content. In this new venture, publishers receive over $10,000 annually to use an advanced yet unreleased AI model for producing articles, with the expectation of delivering regular outputs, including daily articles and weekly newsletters. While these articles aren't required to be identified as AI-generated content, the initiative provides a unique opportunity for smaller news outlets to augment their content production using data from credible sources. And this move by Google underlines a growing trend in leveraging AI in journalism, aiming to empower publishers with the tools to maintain high-quality reporting standards while navigating the challenges of resource constraints. And this is yet another element that Google is implementing, because for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the struggle of publishers where the SGE, Google Search Generative Experience, is taking away a lot of, or actually just providing a lot of the answers that people who are searching the web might be looking for, potentially taking traffic away from small publishers who might be able to answer that question. So what's your take on all of this, on them trying to leverage this AI-generated content?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. The first thing that I think of is a positive note. I think it's positive that Google is wanting to provide news from credible sources to under-resourced publishers. I think that is a positive and virtuous pursuit that I think can ultimately add value to journalism online, especially when they are trying to create an AI model to produce articles that are consistently trustworthy from reliable organizations or educational institutions. I think those are positive things. The interesting thing it comes in the second part that is, I guess the best word is just interesting, is that they are not that they're not labeling it as AI, that it's just simply, so I get they don't really specify, like, they are using Google's AI to generate the articles, but to what extent? Are they just providing statistics, or are they providing the entire article? Or are they, I think they say in here that there is an element of human review to it, but to what extent? They weren't very specific with it. And I would really be interested to see kind of what the process is. Because if I were to be Google and look back at their most recent updates, even the one that we're about to talk about later in the show, AI is not really their friend at the moment, because AI has a tendency to produce low quality content.
Right.
Human content most of the time is preferred, and Google's kind of position from a search perspective is to continuously promote the human editor and the human writer. Of course, there are times and places that AI will continue to be more and more important. And I think this is just, I think this is another factor of it. But yeah, I think it's very interesting that they're trying to push this out and trying to review it and see if it works. I think I'd also be really curious to see how they're performing. Like, is Google supporting them in search? Are they automatically putting them in the news carousel?
Right.
Like, you know, are they having to also, like, are they just producing articles and they also have to go through the gauntlet that every other publisher has to go through?
Right.
Or are they giving them some nice pats on the back and giving them a little shove forward and maybe pushing them up a little bit.
I think it might be that, because we did talk about another article that came out that Google is trying to give a boost to the front page for smaller publishers that maybe have great content, helpful content, but it just can't, you know, get to the upper threshold of the search results. And it seems like on this, they're aiming to support under-resourced publishers. So it seems like that might be a combination of the two initiatives to try to push that out. Additionally, what I'm interested to see is they are cranking out daily articles, weekly newsletters, monthly articles as well. How edited are those? Is it just a matter of kind of like hitting yes to the AI, or like essentially like adding a topic to ChatGPT and then it just cranks it out? Or is their model perhaps providing something in line with Google's core web vitals that give the, you know, AI an additional boost? The other thing that fascinates me is that they're choosing to not have these articles labeled as AI, especially with, for the last couple of months, even into last year, we have transparency with AI being such a big talking point. Meta has now said that they're going to be labeling all images that use AI on their platform. OpenAI, I know that within the metadata, they're including any images that have AI, the metadata will show that it's AI. And Google is like, nah. I just don't know. I feel like this is, it seems a little hypocritical to me.
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive to what their position has been. I think it's Google would really like to be the originator of AI models and not really have room for other people. So it makes sense with Gemini, with this model. I could see that. I mean, think about it. Google's a lot like, obviously, a big competitor for Apple in a lot of spaces. Apple tries to be involved in every aspect of your life. That your phone, your watch, your TV, your email, your web browser, your fridge, they're involved in so many different aspects of technology. Google's trying to do the same thing. They have all those same things and more. They've tried to come into a lot of other spaces that Apple hasn't.
Right.
I think this is another space that Google's trying to take that approach of they want to be the monopoly in AI generated content for each niche is maybe something that they're considering. So this is a model for specifically for news. And then we have Gemini for images. And then they're going to come out with, multiple other ones for each niche. And, trying to support, who knows exactly who they got to partner with this. Obviously that's all kind of hush hush at the moment. And it's not, really going to be something that won't be released until probably later this year, probably next year, considering the contracts for about a year. So, I agree with you. It seems counterintuitive. They want, the article kind of says that the ultimate plans for the AI tool remains unclear, but my best guess is that they kind of want to be position themselves to be the personal assistant for everything, for journalists, for publishers, for niche site owners, for everything in between. And then Apple will come in and do something fancy and steal it.
That's pretty accurate. I could totally see that happening. I'm also wondering if this is just them beta testing the product. I know that Ezoic kind of has a sister product, Writeo, too, where that's a product that helps create AI articles using, information from someone's individual website. Maybe that's something that Google's testing as well. Perhaps something that they're going to be cranking out down the road. Now, with it being still listed as, unplanned and undetermined what they're going to do, another curiosity that I have is, what are they going to do with these smaller publishers in 12 months once the program is over? Is there going to be a thing of they're still going to be able to crank out this AI content? Are they still going to have access to that? Or is Google going to be like, thanks, we got all the data we need. We can take it from here.
If I was the publisher, I'd take it. I wouldn't care.
10,000 is 10,000.
10,000 a month is crazy.
No. 10,000 annually.
10,000 annually.
Oh,
yeah. Bummer.
Hey, that changes things.
Well, okay. You would hope. Oh, and monthly payouts exceeding 10,000 annually in some cases. Okay, so they're not, okay, that's very interesting. I mean, hey, getting paid to use it. So then my guess is probably that the publisher is probably doing a lot of the work. I mean, obviously they're the one having to publish everything and host everything and everything like that. I also wonder what the approval process was like
right, for that. Right.
Like, how did they find these publishers? Where did they get them? You know, I bet that, you know, they probably just spent a couple of days searching up people and just reached out.
I bet. I mean, the thing is that they're looking for smaller publishers so that they can help them produce higher quality journalism content. And again, just kind of going back to the same beta testing idea. It's like, if they want to get their AI, unreleased AI product to a certain level, they need to have publishers who are within the space, specific niches as well, that know what type of writing, what type of content works for that niche. And this is going to help train that bot.
Yeah. Or maybe it was just Google employees.
Maybe.
that would definitely be the easiest. They're already on payroll.
They are.
They have their taxes
it's
set up.
It's just a bonus at that point.
I could see it. I mean, that would be the, I feel like that would be the easiest thing to do. I mean,
if I worked at Google, I'd test the product.
For I would test the product. I mean, we test products here. Yeah. It's not an uncommon thing. But yeah, ultimately, we'll kind of see if it's just turning out content for views or if it's actually valuable, which again, you know, there's so many questions that can go into it again of like even where they're getting the content. So I hope they get some valuable insights from it. But again, there's a lot of barriers. I'm curious how they're overcoming.
Definitely. And I'll keep my eyes on this story. If we get any more additional news regarding it, I will update everybody here on the show. So stay tuned here with the Publisher Lab. But let's dive right into the real story for the day. This is, you know, something everybody cares about every single year. And we had, what, like 10 core updates last year? Is this the first one to your knowledge of this year, or are we a few in?
No, this is the first. Let me make sure my sound is good. This is the first core update of the year. Last year, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 core updates.
And then a bunch of mini ones.
Yeah, there was a product. So in February of last year, there was a product review. April, a review. September, the helpful content. October, the spam. And then November had another review. So there was quite a few.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Exactly. And so, yeah, this came alongside. So there's the core update and then there's the spam update. So honestly, though, this is already, I mean, we're on, you know, like hour 30 of it being released. Like hour 30 of it being released at the time of this recording. And there's already a lot of volatility going on.
Oof.
There are sites being completely unindexed from search overnight. There are sites getting manual actions left and right in dozens of different niches. It all kind of goes back to spammy practices, low quality content.
Let me give a quick rundown on what to expect from this core update. So it's setting a new standard in search quality with its ambitious 2024 March core update and subsequent spam updates. These enhancements are designed to eliminate 40% of unhelpful content from search results, making a significant stride towards more valuable and relevant information. By integrating the helpful content system directly into this core update, Google streamlines its approach to evaluating search quality, addressing key issues like content, domain, and reputation abuses. This update reflects Google's commitment to refining its search engine, responding to user feedback, and enhancing overall search experience. With these changes, Google not only targets to improve the accuracy and relevance of its search results, but also to reaffirm its position as the leader in search technology, meeting the evolving needs and expectations of users worldwide. So 40% of unhelpful content is going to get knocked off the search results, which is actually, I mean, in hindsight, is that really a bad thing?
I mean, depends on the perspective you're coming with. Right. If you're the person producing the helpful content and you're making great money from it, no, you're probably pissed.
Making the helpful content? But I mean, I guess then we have to talk about what constitutes as helpful.
I said if you're the person making the unhelpful content right. and you're getting slammed, but you were making great money, yeah, you're probably sad. At least Google, I mean, Google's pretty specific on like what they deem as helpful and non-helpful. And it's on the publisher to be creative in interpreting their guidelines to produce good content. So, from my perspective as an SEO, to answer your question, I think it's a great thing. I mean, well, with an asterisk. Like I said, we're 30 hours into this. I've seen some good things. But it's just so early to tell. I mean, the update's going to keep, obviously going to keep going. They said it's going to take about a month to roll out, which is
massive.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little longer than usual. Most of my, I feel like take 2 to 3 weeks. So to like basically say flat out, hey, it's going to take about a month. It makes sense with such a big change like this, but I do know that, and we talked about this on the podcast, I think twice in the last 6 months, that a lot of publishers were just very unhappy with the helpful content update when that came out in September. A lot of very reliable, good publishers lost traffic when they really shouldn't have. And of course, Google had to answer that question back then of, okay, well, how do we provide consistent results for users? And they just decided to go with bigger brands and forums. I'm curious if this update will open up the space for publishers to re-enter some of those markets. Or if they're just going to keep it to be that Forbes and Reddit are just going to keep ranking high, which I really hope not, because I think that's just not a great thing for kind of the publisher ecosystem in general. And it will really de-incentivize people further to continue to create content. But if they at least give people at least an inch, you know, of possibilities and opportunities, I think this would be a really great step in the right direction. But of course, kind of separating the chaff from the wheat is kind of the first step probably in this. So, I mean, of course, there's buckle up for more updates throughout this year. You know, this is just the first one. So odds are there is going to be more updates to come this year. So maybe this update is just kind of the fire and brimstone one. This is the flood that resets everything.
Right.
And then maybe, you know, come the beginning of summer, we'll get another one and maybe they'll change things up. One of those things that I've seen, that there's been different search results where they've been testing different layouts. So kind of like if you've looked up like products and stuff, how like you have like the merchant listings and stuff like right. that. What I've seen is Google beta testing. Like if you search up like how to build a deck, or how to do something, there'll be a specific type of layout for that, where instead of just here are the top 10 results and that's it, right. it'll be different types of listings. Well, here's a video, here's a publisher, and then here is a big company. And they say it like directly to you. These are the types of results we're giving you. And then of course, below that, there's like the regular listings and stuff, but it seems like they're playing around with different carousels. It seems like they're playing around with different strategies to help promote publishers. So I'm curious if they'll roll out those types of changes in this update or if it'll be in the future. Either way, though, I mean, I'm just glad they did something. I mean, the last 6 months have been it has been the winter, but like, it's been terrible, man.
I mean, tell me about your experiences. You're on phone calls with publishers consistently talking to them about their SEO. It seems like it's only been negative feedback regarding it.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, I think there was, I guess you kind of need to quote me on this, but I'm not like 100. I mean, fact check me if you're watching this, please. But to my knowledge, there's a really big, there's a very large SEO consultant, very popular SEO person named Lily Ray. And she had produced an article or it was a Twitter thread where she said like that she did a study with her firm and it was like 90%+ of sites that were hit by the helpful content update after changes have seen no increase. Like, and that's been kind of a consistent thing that, like, my job, I mean, at least my opinion and my approach as an SEO consultant over the last 6 months has been to provide education on what's happening and to slow the decrease and to try and minimize damage as much as possible. Unfortunately, like, increases have only been for sites that have fit the mold of what Google's been promoting. So there have been sites that were large database sites, organizations, Wikipedia style, kind of more, and then big brands. I mean, all those kind of four categories have done great. And I've met with those publishers and it's awesome to see their growth and see their success. But it's very unfortunate when you meet with someone who truly is just trying to put out good content and, you know, they're just trying things out and everything like that. And they're just getting beaten out by people who they can't compete with, right. Which is just really sad. But of course, as the internet gets bigger, as search gets bigger, Google has to change up how they organize content. When you have, I mean, the pool is just going to become more and more and more saturated with different types of queries. Every day, someone signs up with a GoDaddy account. Everyone makes a website.
Right.
Everyone that works here, I think, has a website. Some people, you know, not everyone needs a website, but everyone's got one. Everyone has something that they're trying to produce. There's so much content out there. And there's a reason why they had to put these big brands and people out there first, because it's such a monumental task that they have in front of them that is continuously challenging. So, right. You know, for them. So ultimately, there are things that I really hope do change. They give some publishers an inch, give them some opportunities that hard work can pay off. And, you know, the guidelines they've given are very pointed. They are great questions, but they do take a lot of work.
Right.
So to answer your question more directly and more specifically, my experience over the last 6 months has been challenging. I've had to pivot from, okay, here's the low-hanging fruit. Here's the quick things that we can do, and we can get you ranking pretty fast with some great optimizations. To, okay, you're falling off a cliff. How can I help you open the parachute briefly?
Right.
And help you stabilize, and how can I help you stop losing? And maybe we can learn some things along the way. It's been kind of my ideology the past couple months.
And that has to be very, really rough, especially like if you're consistently trying to make changes and things are just not panning out for these smaller publishers. And especially after we talked about a story last week when we had Tyler and Piper on the show, where
and Archie,
we did have Archie, CDO of the company.
There you go.
Where we were discussing a website that had published an article that was talking about how Reddit was outranking them, and that was coinciding with Google having invested a lot of money into Reddit as well. And then later in the day, after publishing that article, a link on Reddit that article was ranking up higher. So it's just kind of, those are all warning signs. I'm assuming that those are all setting out like red alerts to publishers, and all of this is very concerning. I also did want to get another take on you. It says that this update is addressing scaled content abuse, expired domain abuse, and site reputation abuse. Do you have any information regarding that type of abuse to make sure that if a publisher is maybe unknowingly falls into these categories, how to make sure that they're not doing that?
Yeah, so I actually have that pulled up right now from Google's blog. If you want to do a quick mic check to make sure that my voice is doing okay.
Oh, yeah, we're good. I see, perfect.
Okay, sweet. So, yeah, so starting with scaled content abuse, this is just basically, I'm going to use layman's terms and we're going to use just quick kind of blurbs. I'm not going to be super technical here.
Yeah, explain it.
It's
like
a podcast.
Explain it like I'm five.
So, yeah, if you're using AI to pump out like 20 articles a day and it's just cruddy content on like a keyword list that you pulled from Moz, yeah, you're like, this is kind of, you're the target. Right. That's not a great strategy, especially because it's just low quality content. Scaled content abuse, if you can publish 5 articles a day and that's your job and that's what you want to do, that's awesome. It's scaled content abuse. If you're abusing an automation system like AI to produce low quality, cruddy content, you're going to get hit. So that's kind of the first one, site reputation abuse. So from Google's own words, sometimes websites that have their own great content may also host low quality content provided by third parties with the goal of capitalizing on the hosting site's strong reputation. So if I had a site that was 20 years old and I'm making bank and, you know, we get great traffic, and then a very small, low site that maybe doesn't have the best practices, and they pay me $500 a month to have like a couple pages on my site so that they can get some ranking boosts, that's a no-no. You shouldn't do that. the reason why is like, we'll now consider very low third-party content produced primarily for ranking purposes and without close oversight of a website owner to be spam. So there, so it does like look like there's a gray area where it's okay. So if like, if I had a site that did really well, all that stuff that I said, and it's about dogs, and there was someone that just started a site about dogs and they're my good friend, and I'm like, hey man, I'll help you out. There's probably some gray area there with close oversight.
Right.
But ultimately, anyone that really falls into this, they know. They know that it's not a good idea. However, they're fully publishing this on May 5th. So people do have a 2-month grace period to get those final payments and get out of there. So, you know, make sure you're clearing that up. And then the last thing that you mentioned is expired domain abuse. So again, in their own words, occasionally expired domains are purchased and then repurposed with the primary intention of boosting search ranking of low quality or unoriginal content. So if you're unfamiliar with that practice, essentially if you owned a website and let's say it was about cars, let's not do cars. Let's do like, dogs again. I guess let's do dogs. And again, I'm doing really well, but I want to do better. And I noticed that Poodle Lover 44's website that was super good in 2002. Well, he let the domain expire, but he's got all that old domain authority. Well, if I buy it and then redirect it to my site and just repurpose the content on my site to get that ranking boost, it'll work for a little bit, but not much longer after that.
Right.
So, and essentially they're considering that now to be spam. Don't do that. That would be a bad practice to do. With the primary intention of boosting search ranking of low quality or unoriginal content. So there is, again, that gray area of where if you are wanting to do it for a very specific purpose, or if you're very open and transparent about it on the website, and you know, it's a very positive practice. Again, my friend, you know, he had it for a long time, and you know, he just stopped doing it. He had kids, and you know, he got tired, you know, wasn't able to do it. And I bought it from him and it was a very clean transition and whatnot, that's probably fine. But again, if it's for the unintentional, if it's for the intentional purpose of boosting your search ranking of low quality content and unoriginal content, I wouldn't do that. So so those are the three things at least that they're kind of trying to focus on at this moment in time. And then on top of that, I mean, they're just tossing everything else up in the air. So we'll really kind of see, but that's the answer to your question.
Right. And with the volatility still being so all over the place, you know, there's who knows who else might be affected and what other things it kind of might go after. Is there any like general kind of advice that you would give publishers in this perspective? Or do you think that because it's only 30 hours in, maybe we're a little bit like, maybe don't be so brash on making big decisions right now and kind of wait to see how the field plays out?
Well, if you've gotten de-indexed or you have a manual action, yes, I would start making big changes. Sure. Yeah, like that would definitely be something to start fixing everything. But of course, so I'll give advice to those people first and then I'll go to the others. People who fall in that category. It probably isn't that big of a surprise. Like, of course, if you're surprised, like, and you've never done any of that and it's maybe a mistake, try and appeal it, you know, as quick as you can. But more often than not, you could probably think of something that maybe wasn't great if you're in that position. If that's happened, and that's not the case for everybody, you know, so if you are one of those, maybe not. But my advice is to do actual work. You definitely want to put kind of nose to the grindstone a little bit and do some great work and fix a lot of the things that, you know, they're telling you to fix. That if you're under any of the spam penalties, go through Google spam policies, fix everything that you can, you know, and try and make some really honest work out of it. Yes, it is very tough work, and it will take a while. Manual actions are sticky, but don't try and, you know, pardon my French, you know, don't try and half-ass the revisions that you're trying to do and then try and appeal. Don't waste Google's time in that. That's only going to make the situation worse. I would recommend putting your full effort into it and make some really positive changes to your website and take time. Take time to, you know, make those changes and make a very visible change. That would be my best recommendation. For people who are just riding the wave of this and, you know, you got nothing, you're all in the green and you're like, oh man, I wonder what's going to happen. Ride the wave, my friends. Shaka, you know, yep. You know, hang out and wait. Yeah. Don't do anything. Wait for, you know, wait 2 months. Keep doing what you're doing. Follow Google best practices. Keep that white hat on your head. Don't blemish it. You know, you try and stay as clean as you can. All that kind of stuff. So trying to be, you know, continue to write great content, continue to have great branding, continue to have stellar homepages, stellar EAT, stellar authority, all those good things that we've talked about in the podcast before, in our webinars and everything else that you can find. Try and stay in best practices as best you can for the next 2 months. And in probably 3 months' time, you know, by May, June, somewhere around there, we'll have some really good indicators of what was really targeted in this update. Who are the winners? Who are the losers? And what can you do then? That's when I would be making, that's when I would plan to make some very actionable insights. But otherwise, it's just stay on top of it. Do the best you can. Keep that white hat clean.
Solid advice. Solid advice. And I would love to have you back on the show, you know, periodically over the next few months and just to kind of re-examine this situation and maybe just kind of dive deeper. And I'd put a call out to all of our publishers. If you have a question for Zach, or if you're starting to see the effects of this March 2024 update on your website, we want to know about it. Let us know what kind of experiences you may having, if your traffic is going up, if it's going down, and then we'll relay that over to Zach and see if we can give you a better answer. But perfect. Again, Zach, thank you for being on the show. It's always great having you. I feel like I always learn something new when you're on the show.
Oh, man, you flatter me. This it's the privilege is mine, my friend. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, thanks for coming on. And thanks, everybody, watching us at home or at work or on your drive listening to us. It's always great to put out these episodes. Join us again next week. Make sure to check the description for the publisherlab.org where you can find all of our past episodes, as well as our accompanying blog article, the Pub Pulse that Sarah, one of our colleagues, puts out every single week. And thank you again for another episode of the Publisher Lab.